Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Time to awaken. Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark.
Good morning, and welcome to what is called Friday, for those of you visiting the Earth from other locations. So, I have bad news for some of you. Well, for this is pretty much bad news for all of you. our guest had a last minute issue. Okay, let's try this again. Okay, so apparently the Skype server wanted to update in the middle of the show here. So I think we have things fixed now. I am having some issues with the chat here still. So I guess my topic has been picked for today. So what we are going to do today is we are going to give a brief overview of what astrology is and how it works. I know there's a lot of people that have requested that I kind of sometimes we get going here on the guests and we start blabbing and nobody really knows what we're talking about. So I'm just gonna go and give a overview of what astrology is and how it works, and then we will go over some of the stuff that I'm going to use in my class tomorrow night at the new Mystic Nirvana location, 133 South State Street, Westerville, Ohio. And I'm going to talk about the energies that we are having to deal with at this time. Here's what astrology is and what it can and cannot do. So, astrology is the measurement of the movement of the planets and their effect on our 3D reality down here. So, if you've had a birth chart done, or a natal chart as it is sometimes called, what you will have in front of you is a snapshot or a blueprint of, if you'd had a powerful enough telescope, that's where all the planets were in the sky when you were born. And so each of these planets, signs, and houses have a basic archetypes attached to them, and they all have rulerships. They all have areas of life that they rule, and so everything that happens on the Earth has a planetary rulership attached to it. You know, politics would be Saturn or Pluto ruled. Sports would be Sun, Jupiter ruled. Technology is ruled by Uranus. animals all fall into different category. Leo, cats, domestic cats, and wild cats, lions, all that kind of stuff is ruled by Leo because it's the lion. Mm-hmm. And then anything that goes on the Earth. Oil is ruled by Neptune. Fog is ruled by Neptune. Everything that there is has an astrological rulership to it. So just really general, the overview is the sun is your basic energy, your creativity, your basic personality. The moon is your emotions and also ego as well is the moon. Mercury is mental processes and communications, how we communicate, how our mind works. That's all Mercury stuff. Venus rules relationships. Now Venus, there are a couple planets that rule two signs. One of them is being Mercury, which rules Virgo and Gemini. Let me start over there. The sun rules the sign of Leo. Moon rules the sign of Cancer. Mercury, which is the mental processes, rules both Virgo and Gemini. Venus, which is relationships, rules Libra and Taurus. Taurus the bull, Libra the scales. Then Mars is our instinctual energy. And it can be aggression, it can be sexual energy, it can kind of be the base core level of how we operate. It's kind of our instinctual energy, and Mars rules the sign of Aries. Then we have Jupiter. Jupiter rules philosophy, higher learning, long distance travel. Jupiter is the biggest planet, so anything wherever Jupiter is in your chart, or if transiting Jupiter, and I'll go over a definition for the word transiting. If transiting Jupiter is hitting something in your chart, then it expands it or makes it bigger. And so when I say a transiting planet, when going back to your horoscope, that being your birth chart being a snapshot or a blueprint of where everything was in the sky when you were born, those planets keep moving, and all the planets move at different speeds. So the planets keep moving from that time. And as they keep moving around from that initial blueprint or your initial toolbox, which is your natal chart, these planets keep forming different aspects and hitting different points in your chart and hitting different planets in your chart. So as these planets hit others in your chart, that's when you have things going on in your life. That's when you have big stuff happening or changes. And I am not able to get into the chat room at all. I appear to be locked out of the chat room right now. So, let me try one more thing here. So, may not be able to talk in there today.
Maybe you have an extra window open, double check, so you don't have an extra, through the confusion of Skype, trying to upgrade our our system there.
Right. Yeah, I am locked out there. So, Jupiter, which rules the sign of Sagittarius, again, is Jupiter being the biggest planet. It magnifies or makes anything bigger that it touches. Then we have Saturn, which rolls the sign of Capricorn. Saturn is about structure and discipline, and it kind of rules the status quo, the
Let's take a break.
Okay, we're gonna take a short break here and try and get a couple things fixed here real quick. We'll be back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Chasing rabbits.
Okay. Okay. So, looks like I am finally loading back up here. So, we're going to... Okay. I'm back into the website. And... Okay.
There are no coincidences, Delia. Only the illusion of coincidence.
Okay. Okay, so I'm kind of back into some version of the chat room here. Okay, so let me doing around technical issues here. I'm just kind of giving you a basic overview of astrology, and I think we were leaving off with Saturn. Saturn rules structure, discipline. Saturn is the taskmaster. Saturn also rules like structures as far as like buildings, and it's one of the rulers of like governments and things, kind of how society is structured, and also the structure of our consciousness. That's also a Saturn thing there. Saturn ruled thing. Okay, so then we have Uranus. Uranus rules technology. And also rules astrology and New Age stuff. It rules groups, organizations we belong to. Uranus is kind of our tribe. And it's the most rebellious planet also. It even has a kind of a wobble to its rotation that is different than any other planet. So then we have Neptune. Uranus rules the sign of Aquarius. I don't think I mentioned that. Neptune rules the sign of Pisces. Neptune is kind of about those things we can't physically see or put our hands on. Neptune is intuition. It is psychic ability. It is our imagination, our dream life, our dream world, and it rules the sign of Pisces, and Neptune just happens to be in the sign of Pisces right now, and I'll touch more on that in a minute. And then Pluto is the outermost planet. Pluto rules the sign of Scorpio. Pluto has to do with death, rebirth, and transformation. Pluto also correlates with the soul. Pluto also is the higher octave of the Mars energy, as Mars used to rule both Aries and Scorpio before it was discovered, before Pluto was discovered, I should say. And then we have the couple of the other points that these aren't necessarily planets, but they're kind of points or things you will, terms you'll run across a lot, is we have the ascendant, which is also called your rising sign, or it's called the mask sometimes also. So the ascendant is it's the starting point of your chart, and that's why if you get a chart done, you need your time of birth or your time and place, so that it's so that the astrologer or the computer program you're using knows where to start the chart. And essentially what the ascendant is, it's your mask. It is what you are comfortable with showing people up front. So this may, depending on what sign your ascendant is and how it meshes with the rest of your chart, your ascendant may or may not actually have may or may not be a good representative of what lies underneath or what your real core being is there. So yeah, my example of this is if you're dating someone or you meet someone and you're hanging out a lot and stuff, or just friends even, and after you get to know each other for, you know, 2 or 3 months, or, you know, maybe 6 months, or if it's somebody who hides themselves well or doesn't let out a lot of their true emotions easily, you'll find out one day these people like kind of change or shift, and you're like, you know, hey, where the heck did this person come from? Where's this coming from? They like suddenly changed overnight, and it's like they didn't really change. They got comfortable enough to let down their mask and kind of show you the real them. They got you. You passed some kind of test where they then felt comfortable enough with you to to kind of let out the real you. You feel comfortable enough to kind of show people who you are, or at least, you know, once you get comfortable enough with them. Okay, so then another point in the chart that you may have run across sometimes in articles called the midheaven, or has an abbreviation of MC, which is Latin for medium coli. The midheaven is the top point of your chart. It's where the 10th house starts, and it is it's where the 10th house starts, and it's kind of your, it says where the 10th house starts, it's kind of your public standing. It's like what people see of you first. It's kind of where your point of popularity is, and 10th house also is the career house and public standing. It's ruled by Saturn. And then another, what I do is a, the area of astrology I specialize in is called evolutionary astrology, and it is it focuses on Pluto and the nodes more so than just the basic sun and moon signs, which the daily horoscopes and the newspaper and stuff are what you're going to, you know, is what they put their little blurbs on is just pretty much just going on sun signs, and that's why those are very often not very accurate. So the nodes come up a lot. So here's, and people ask me a lot about them. So the north node, we have a north node and a south node in our chart. They're also called the nodes, the moon's nodes, and are also called the dragon's head and the dragon's tail. The Eastern astrology uses the nodes a lot more than the Western astrology. And the evolutionary astrology, which I do, is kind of a mix of the Eastern and Western. It's kind of more karmic-based, but it is not as... sometimes there's a lot of fadedness and stuff in the Eastern astrology. So I don't get too much into the fadedness of the north node and south node will always be exactly opposite in a horoscope. So if you have your north node in Leo, your south node will be in Aquarius. If your north node's in Virgo, your south node will be in Pisces. The north and south node will always be 180 degrees apart. So the north node is about future energy, that how you want to act, energy you want to get in touch with, the energy that is going to most help you evolve. The south node is past karma being worked on, things that were strong points in previous lives that we've brought back into this life. We have a Saturn return every 28 to 30 years, which is where Saturn is back at the same spot in the natal chart as when we were born. When we have our first Saturn return between the ages of 28 and 30, is kind of when we kind of get comfortable into our skin in this lifetime. Up till the time we have that first Saturn return, people often exhibit the tendencies of their south node, because we come into this life and have Neptune as the veil. People say the veil is thin, that is Neptune. So we have the Neptunian veil that kind of blocks out some of our past lives and stuff, because it would be too much to deal with, to have every trauma and every emotional event and everything we've ever experienced in every lifetime in the forefront of our head. So we have that Neptunian veil, and so up until the time we're 28 or 30, we're familiar with that south node energy. And it's what we've brought in from our previous lives, so we really resonate from that south node energy. And people whose charts contact or hit the south node in our chart are very often people that we've brought in from previous lives. And so for the first 20 to 30 years of our life, we still kind of have a foot in our previous lives, still acting out some of that stuff. And so a lot of times, it's not until we're 28 to 30 to where we start feeling the energy of our north node, and we get, fully ingrained into. Because when a baby's born, when you're first born onto the physical level here, there's intelligence in a baby's eyes. There's emotion there. There's feeling. There's fear or happiness or anger or joy. So when we first come into this, we still have a lot of those remnants from our previous lives, our previous incarnations still working, and we have to kind of find out that, hey, I'm still kind of doing things that, I don't know why, just kind of on an instinctual level, and it's usually that south node energy that we exhibit quite a bit in the first 28 to 30 years of our go-around this time. And so then after we kind of get a little more grounded into this reality, I don't know why I was doing that. Or a lot of times what you see is people's needs change when they hit 28 in that, first Saturn return. Their needs change. Their desires change. What they thought they wanted they didn't really, it seems, to kind of fall away to the side. It kind of, it's not as important anymore, and it's like there's a new set of goals and things, because we're fully, we're then fully more integrated, or maybe not fully, but more integrated into this incarnation and what we're going to be doing this time around here on the Little Blue Marble. So, you always, wherever your north and south nodes are, is kind of determines how we evolved, especially when you look at Pluto as well and its aspects to the north-south node. So, we will often have planets in our natal chart that are conjunct to the north or south node. Any planets conjunct our south node are things that we excelled at in previous lives. Those were things that we were good at. A lot of astrologers whose charts I've seen will have Uranus, which rules astrology, conjunct or in good aspect to their south node. And so they just kind of pick this stuff up easy. If you're, I've seen some charts of some of these, like, musical prodigies, like these, you know, kids that are 7 or 8 and are playing Mozart and stuff like that. They have Neptune or Mercury conjunct their south node, a lot of them. Because in a previous life, they were a great musician. And so they had this, or Mercury, you know, their mental processes were really strong. So whatever planets you have conjunct your south node is things that you're not learning them this lifetime. You've already known them. You've already done them. You've already worked them out in previous lifetimes. And the energy you're really good with and really familiar with, and it just kind of naturally comes out. So once you find these, you know, the little kid stumbles across a piano that he can play or a keyboard or whatnot, and it just, you know, there's all kinds of videos of, you know, I saw a video the other day of a little kid playing drums to, like, Motorhead songs and stuff. And it's like, you know, this kid's like 8. And it's like, that kid had a previous life as a musician. I mean, that there's very simple explanations for all these things that they try to put as, you know, the mainstream media will try to run them off as randomness or coincidence. No, there's a very simple explanation for these things. If you were good at them in a previous life, and once you stumble upon them in this life, mm-hmm. you're not. Everyone else is trying to learn that stuff for the first time. You're not. You're just trying to remember. You already learned the stuff. You're just working to remember it. That's all like south node energy. And so any planets that we have conjunct our south node are going to help facilitate us in this lifetime. Now, they can keep us stuck also. So there are things that we have to work on and evolve, but there are things that will help us move forward towards our north node energy. Now we have the same. Also, too, here's another very. I'm going to give you a common scenario that happens in the Matrix, in the 3D world here. Okay, boy and girl meet when they're 23. They are neighboring signs like Capricorn and Aquarius, or Sag and Capricorn, or Taurus and Gemini, or whatnot. And so there's familiar energy there. They get married when they're 24, and then when they are 29 and having their Saturn returns, they find that the marriage isn't working, and then the marriage ends, and, you know, everyone's like, oh, gosh, they were such a good couple. They were together for so long and all this stuff. It's like, but when we're, before we have that first Saturn return, and also, let's say these people had one person's Venus was at the same sign and degree as the other person's south node. So these people came into this life having been together, brother and sister, husband and wife, whatever, mother and son, whatever, having had some relationship in a previous life. Then they come into this life, they see this familiar energy on the matrix level, on the 3D level, because person A's, you know, their sun signs are close together, or you know, they have an aspect there, and then they have that instinctual feel. So everyone has met someone that's like, man, I met this person, and it feels like I've known them forever. Right, there's a reason. You have known them forever. You've known them in previous lives, and at this time you're calling on them to help finish up karmic lessons that were working out between you, help, and oftentimes it's a helper. They've come to help you learn a lesson, or you're working out karma that hadn't been finished between you. Maybe if you have one person has Saturn conjunct the other person's south node, then that the person who has the Saturn was the other person's teacher in a previous life, or they were the other person's father. So
Luke, I'm your father.
Yes, Luke, I am your father. Right. So these, so there's, that's how these things work out. Is we bring back different peoples. We bring back different people from past incarnations into this life to help or assist or to us when we need it, or to continue working out things that we had started in previous lives. And sometimes we just want people that we know and trust and are familiar with around us. And so often you will find a lot of your friends have a lot of contacts with your south node. Most of my astrology class, a lot of them have their north node at the low degrees of Pisces, or else they have their and the late degrees of Pisces. So what does that mean? The people at the south node and the late degrees of Pisces are, that's hitting my sun. That's hitting my sun sign, which is at the late degrees of Pisces. So while I've brought up, you know, we bring back these people, we resonate towards these people because we know them and we've, you know, trusted them and loved them over, you know, several different lifetimes. And so, the odds are really, if I have 12 people in my astrology class, if everything being random, then one out of the 12 people in my astrology class should have something on their south node hitting, you know, in the same sign as my sun. It should be one out of 12 if everything was random. But it's not. It's like 80%. It's like 80% of the people in my class have something in their chart at late degrees Pisces hitting my sun. And some of them also have things in the low degrees of Scorpio, which is where my south node is. And then there's some that have their north node at the low degrees of Pisces. Well, that's where my Mercury is. So sometimes it's new people you bring in. You often have a mix of new people and old people that you bring in. So these, you know, new people in my classes that have their Mercury or their sun or something at around 5 degrees Mercury, where my Pisces is, where my Mercury is, as I'm meeting them in this lifetime to teach, communicate, exchange ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look at anything. I even did a layout the other day with, I took the charts of all my favorite sports teams. And now, you know, again, if everything were random, the odds are I would have one or two planets in my chart hitting in the charts of my favorite sports teams. But it's not like that. It's, I have all of the charts of all my favorite sports teams have like 8 planets hitting directly on things in my chart. So I just immediately, because most of my favorite sports teams I've had since I was 7. Mm-hmm. I've liked all the same sports teams since I was, now I like the Blue Jackets and some new teams that have come along since then. But all my favorite teams in every sport are...
You like to suffer, don't you?
Yes, yes. But they're all teams I've liked since I was somewhere between 7 and 9 when I started watching various sports. I liked the St. Louis Rams back when they were the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah,
I watched my first Rams game in 1974.
I don't like them in St. Louis.
Yeah, they need to go back to the old uniforms, yeah, too. Well, they may be going back to Los Angeles. They're building a stadium there.
Do you think they're going to enhance the color on their helmet, too?
Well, no, I just want... Browns fans, I don't know how you do it. Don't know how you put up with that silliness. Yeah, I thought Boston Celtics. I followed the Boston Celtics since 1975. Montreal Canadiens. I followed the Montreal Canadiens since 1977. All my Pittsburgh Pirates. 1976. Started watching the Pirates. So all these teams and all the charts of these teams connect really closely with my chart. If the Pittsburgh Pirates were a team, I would be great friends with. If they were a person, I'm sorry. The Pittsburgh Pirates were a individual person mm-hmm. with that chart, I would be great friends and have great connections with that person. So that's how astrology works. It's all these interacting energy. Every restaurant you've ever eaten at has a birth chart.
Okay.
Every government agency that's ever been created in any country, there's a birth chart for that. The CIA has a chart. Hello, friends in Langley. Hi.
Hey, they cut us off earlier.
Yes. every company that you buy food from, they have a birth chart. Every wine company you buy wine from, that wine company has a birth chart. Mm-hmm. Every building you go in, it has a birth chart. Every band that you like, every CD that you own, there's a time when that CD was released. There was a chart for the release of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
No question. So if something has a birth chart, something have a death chart? I don't know. I don't know that much about astrology, so...
Yes, there are different... In fact, I had... This is a weird conversation. I had this conversation the other day with somebody. There are... Yeah, if I was somebody I was doing a reading for over Skype, actually. So you can pick out the ends... You can pick out the transition points of charts.
Okay.
So I'm being a... I'm more than average level on the morbidity level, on the ghoulish level.
Mm-hmm.
So I very much look into death and things like that in the chart. In fact, the weirder the better for me. Anything weird outside of the normal, like if somebody dies of old age and stuff, that's a terrible thing and whatnot, but it doesn't catch my attention. Now, if I see, a real life example. A couple years ago, there was a guy in Florida attacked by two sharks while kite surfing. That's an unusual story that sticks out in my head. That's for you, Christina. Anything that's really bizarre, anything really outside of the normal is what catches my eye. So there are significators, things that can point out death or the end of things to a birth chart. But the difficult thing is I can pick out periods of intense transformation and stuff, and you can also pick out very good things, happening in a chart. But you would totally pick out the end of something or when something's a person's going to die or when a company's going to end. You have to kind of know because what kind of karma is being worked on there, and that's really hard to know without really working with the person a little bit, because the chart of someone who has a very traumatic death, it looks very different from someone that has a very peaceful death. So the chart of someone who was killed in a shark attack is going to look massively different from the chart of somebody who just passes away in their sleep, because there's not a traumatic event. Mm-hmm. There will be a show of transition or something like that. Someone who's been sick for... I've seen people with really good transits, really beautiful-looking transits that pass away. Sometimes when people are really sick for a long time, sometimes it's a very peaceful, like Jupiter or Neptune transit that comes along that shows release and that they're able to get out of this body that may be ill or not functioning properly. So as I've seen people actually that have really good, nice transits that pass away during those. It's actually, this is this is going to sound absolutely just ghoulish on my part, but it's, you know, it is what it is. So it's much easier to pick out, if someone's going to die a violent death, it's much easier to pick that out than it is someone who's going to have a peaceful death.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the signatures are more profound when there's a big, sudden traumatic event than when it's just like a gentle passing away in the sleep.
Okay.
So kind of find how all this South Node energy works and how we bring people back into our lives and everything. But conversely, the North Node, if somebody we meet, their chart has a lot of things hitting the North Node of our chart, then that's someone maybe we're meeting new this lifetime. Or this is maybe someone who's going to help us evolve and move towards our North Node, somebody who's going to help us evolve in the good direction, someone who's going to be a good example for us, someone that we have a lot of potential for in the future. So here's another, back to my little marriage made-up scenario. You know, so when people, one of the questions I get the most in meetings is, you know, is this person good for me? Am I, what sign for, that kind of thing. If looking at like a marriage dating type relationship, sometimes people that have a lot of stuff, or especially if your nodes are opposite, like if my north node is in Scorpio, my south node is in Taurus, if I meet somebody that has north node in Taurus and south node in Scorpio, there's going to be a lot of connection points there. There's going to be some similar things, but that person may not be great for me in the long term, because they're moving towards the energy that I'm trying to get away from. So it's like two cars on the same freeway, but they're driving in different directions. So they meet at some point, they may pass each other at some point, and they'll look very familiar. Maybe these people are in the same car, but just on the same freeway, but mm-hmm. heading in different directions.
That's what's weird, isn't it?
So that's one of the things I love about astrology. It takes, cause, and we pick up these, we pick, you know, you go into a restaurant, oh, I don't like the feel of this place. Or we go into an art museum, it's like, man, it feels really good in here. Or you go to, you know, you, every place you go into, every person you interact with, every company you buy from, your chart is interacting with these, with their, there's 30 degrees in the zodiac, 20 and 30 degrees each. So it's like you have a radio, and there's 360 different sound frequencies. There's 360 different transmissions.
Wow.
And so it's your chart, your transmission signals. If you have a ham radio, it's the stations that you can operate on. I guess I dated myself saying ham radio, didn't I? So back in the 1860s, right after the Civil War, there was these things called ham radios. It was also called a CB radio. But anyways, you tune through, just like you would a radio dial, you tune through on different frequencies. You can talk to, if somebody is on the same channel as you, you know, if they're on channel 12.9 and you're on channel 12.9, then you can talk to this person over this radio. So archaic technology at this juncture, but... you know, he will have that. So we have there's 360 different frequencies, and if we have things at the same channel or same frequency levels as the frequencies in our favorite sports team chart, or in the person walking down the street, or in the chart of the companies we work for, if we have things at those same frequencies, that's the connection points. That's the connection points. Last job I had, the chart of the company had, I forget, it was either the Saturn, I think it was their Saturn was at, or Saturn or one of the nodes, was at, it was like 7 or 9 degrees Pisces. There was like 12 people that worked in the front office. Out of those 12 people, there was one person wasn't able to get their birthday. But all the other 11 people in the front office had something right around 7 degrees Pisces. So that's how they worked for that company, is one of the structure points of that company was at the same frequency as something in the chart of the all these people that were working there. And so that's kind of how this works. And as planets keep moving, and they move at different speeds, they keep hitting different points or different frequencies out of the frequencies that are in my chart. Like, just an example, if something is at 17 degrees of Gemini,
mm-hmm.
if somebody's sun is there, I'm not going to – it doesn't really hit anything in my chart. That's not a contact point for me. So that energy is not going to I'm not going to pick up on that. But if they have something at 4 degrees of Scorpio, that's very close to my south node and to my Mars. So that person, I'm going to feel the energy of that person. That energy is going to resonate with me on some level. That energy is going to be something that shows up on my radar. So that's kind of, and then as these planets keep moving and keep hitting different spots in our chart, then that's when things happen and show up in our life. So that's kind of a quick overview there of how things work. So we're going to take a break here. I'm going to stop babbling for a second, and then when we come back, we are in the most intense energy period of this year right now, and we're going to break down what's going to be happening in the next 3 weeks.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra. We're back. Okay, so now that I've kind of given you a brief overview there of kind of how astrology works, one of the things, well, here's what's going on right now. So right now we are in what is the highlight of 2015. We are in the most intense energy we're going to go through this year. And I'm going to try to, and you'll get a handout if you come to my class tomorrow night. You'll get a much more detailed, you'll get a handout and a much more detailed, lengthy version of all this. But I will try and give you in the next half hour, try and give you a scaled down version of what is happening right now. So I'm gonna go biggest to smallest here. So the biggest, the overwhelming theme of what's going on right now is Uranus is square to Pluto. In the sky right now, the planet Uranus is square to the planet Pluto. That means they are 90 degrees apart. So that's a square is an aspect. So different aspects have different energies. So if you're into geometry at all or whatnot, a 90 degree aspect is a square and it has a lot of energy. And it can be negative or disruptive energy. I mean, essentially energy is just energy and it is what we do with it. However, a 90 degree aspect has a lot of energy to it, and something has to be done with it. Something has to happen with it. So going back to a few minutes ago when we talked about, you know, what the planets do, Pluto is transfer, life, death, rebirth, transformation. That is the Pluto theme. That is the Pluto cycle. It's about transforming. Pluto likes to challenge taboos. Pluto is also the big power structures. Pluto is big government. That's why sometimes you'll hear them called plutocrats. Because it is the big... Pluto rules the big power structures. And it is the most intense planet. It is the planet with the most depth and the most ability to transform. Pluto rules Scorpio. The bottom line with Pluto and Scorpio is the bottom line. How can I transform? How can I break down this thing that doesn't work anymore? So just one of the symbols of Pluto and Scorpio is the phoenix. The phoenix gets bigger and bigger and more powerful and more powerful, and then it explodes, and it burns itself up into ashes. It gets too big and too powerful. And then it gathers itself, and it rises back up from the ashes, and it rebuilds even more, even bigger and more powerful. That's how Scorpio energy works. It builds and builds and builds and gets more powerful, and then essentially it just kind of incinerates itself. Scorpio people live and die many times within one lifetime. They are, on a core level, Scorpios are attracted to intense, transformational, taboo, powerful situations. That's what their bottom line is. Scorpios often get negative energy projected onto them as they're too intense, they're psychos, they're stalkers, they're whatever. That's not accurate at all. They get a really bad rap. They experience, they're here to really transform. The rest, I mean, people who are non-Scorpios are only talking about transformation. Scorpios transform. So if you, and you don't have to be a sun sign Scorpio. There's a lot of, both of us in this room here have a lot of Scorpio placements in our chart. Everyone in our drum circle has a good bit of Scorpio energy.
I'm looking around. Are you talking to me?
So it's all about a transforming on some level. Digging up, unburying painful truths and hurts and wounds, dealing with them, bringing in intense situations to the reality that help them transform. They bring in a lot of... This is just a makeup scenario, but it's highly statistical probabilities on things that I've seen a lot. So most Scorpio people I know are very intense. From their teens through their 20s, they get involved in drugs. They date people that are bad for them, can be very attracted to people that are really intense but very different from them. Because they're always wanting to... Scorpios are the most highly addictive sign also. So the Scorpios will keep attracting or keep getting involved with people, places, things, companies, drugs, whatever, that help them transform their reality. That help them... things that they can become one with, merge with, and transform. That is the bottom line of the Pluto-Scorpio energy. And a lot of people who are not here this time to have this really intense experience and to really get to the bottom of things, first time they meet a Scorpio or date a Scorpio or a close friend, it's like, wow, that person's like crazy. And it's like, they're not...
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
So they'll be like, are you like a crazy person? And it's, no, they experience things on a deeper level than most people. They go through deeper stuff than most people. They want to transform more than most people. And that's what they're here to do, is transform things. And so that Scorpio energy. Wow, I forget what my original point was on this. I forget what I was calling this. So the Scorpio energy is very... Oh, Uranus-Pluto square. There I am. Hello, I'm back. So that's what Pluto's deal is. Uranus is about rebellion. And it's less about the individual and more about the group, the tribe. Uranus is very chaotic. Uranus is sudden shocking events. And the charts of most earthquakes and things like that, Uranus is doing something very prominent. And the charts of revolutions, Uranus is very prominent. And sudden shocking events, like the spree shootings and, you know, just other crazy stuff. People who hit the lottery, Uranus is very prevalent in the charts of those things. The Uranus is surprise, shocking events. Uranus helps us get, it disrupts things. It doesn't let us continue on as things were. Uranus helps shift things, helps get us unstuck. It's if you're going to rebuild something, if your house needs rebuilt, sometimes it's easier to do it when it's in shambles and little bits and pieces than it is when it's still a standing structure. Because then you're just, you can only add on and build on to things so much. Sometimes you just have to blow it up and kind of start over. So that's what the Uranus energy is. It's very wobbly, it's inconsistent, it's chaotic, it's disruptive, but it helps save us. It helps us get out of things. Stuck in a bad relationship, you want a Uranus transit. Stuck in a bad job, you want a Uranus transit. Stuck in a bad living situation, you want a Uranus transit. Uranus helps you, sometimes in a disruptive way, but Uranus helps you get unstuck from these things. So Uranus is square to Pluto. It's been square for 2.5 years. So again, a square is maybe negative energy, but square is a lot of energy. That you're not just going to, I'll just sleep through my Uranus-Pluto transit. No, you're not going to sleep through your Uranus-Pluto square. That is not going to happen. The universe will not let you just sleep through your... Mm-hmm. You can sleep through your Neptune transit. You're not going to sleep through your Uranus-Pluto transit. You're going to change. You're going to transform. The more you resist it, the more painful your change and transition is going to be. If you have to be drug-kicking and screaming, it's going to be a lot less beneficial than if you say, hey, I need to change some things. Let's change them and work with that energy. Okay, so Uranus has been square to Pluto for 7 times. Now, there's 7 exact hits when Uranus and Pluto have been exactly square. We've already gone through 6 of them. The 7th one is on March 16th. So Uranus and Pluto are outer planets, so they move very slowly. So right now, this square is almost exact right now because Uranus and Pluto move very, very slowly. I mean, Pluto moves like 2 degrees a year. Uranus moves like 3 or 4 degrees a year. So like right now, Uranus is at 14 degrees of Aries. Pluto is at 15 degrees Capricorn. So that's 1 degree off from being exact. And so how does this sit? Our inner reality and our outer reality mirror each other. So things that are happening inside of us, we see outside of us. And things that we see on the news and in the world around us, those are reflections of the things inside of us. Uranus square Pluto is about revolution. It is about breaking down the power structures. It's about changing the control grid. It's about breaking out of bad relationships, breaking out of bad jobs, breaking out of bad living situations. If your employer does not appreciate you, that's probably annoying most of the time, but right now it's going to be unbearable. So just let me be clear. Pluto doesn't cause you to do anything. Mars doesn't cause you to do anything. These are reflections. Mars doesn't make you mad. You don't become mad because Mars is in a certain degree of a certain sign. You have anger within you that needs worked on or energy that needs released, And when Mars is hitting or somewhere in your chart, or the Mars in your birth chart is being hit, then that's when that is going to be reflected to you. That's when that energy that is already within you is going to come out. The planets are not preying upon us and forcing us to do things. They're just showing the most times where the anger in us is going to come out, or the emotions in us are going to come out, or the love in us is going to come out. These are just reflecting the most likely times these experiences are going to occur.
So there's no actual push on people?
Well, there is, I think, there is a magnetic pull,
okay.
But that is why...
I don't know what you're saying.
Right, but that is why that energy comes out of us at those times.
Cool.
So, but it's not... If you have no anger or hatred in you, a Pluto-Mars square is not going to make you go on a killing spree. Now, if you have a lot of pent-up rage, you have a lot of hatred for people, and you have a lot of angry baggage and hatred that you've not dealt with,
mm-hmm.
Those are the people that go on a killing spree when there's a Pluto-Mars square.
Oh, I see.
So it's only bringing out things that don't... I can't... If you don't have already a lot of hatred or anger in your heart, Pluto transit's not going to cause you to, oh, I've been this happy, beautiful person my whole life, and then I had a Pluto transit, I killed 37 people. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. And only the planets can only reflect energy and things that are already out there.
Okay.
It reflects the times when that energy is most likely to come out and be exhibited. So right now we are very close to the 7th and final of these Uranus-Pluto squares. If you picked up a newspaper in the last 2.5 years, what's going on? The Occupy movement. Take Back Wall Street.
Yeah.
Our friends that we hung out with downtown, you know, Anonymous.
Okay. We're not Anonymous anymore.
You're seeing governments overthrown, economies fail. Why? Because economies are, money is the power structure. So Uranus is creating chaos with the power structures. We're seeing revolutions. Look at the economies of Greece and Egypt the last couple of years. Look at, there's all kinds of stuff. I can do a whole 6-hour rabbit hole show on terrorism and who's really behind it and whatnot, but I'll say that for another time. But, terrorism is chaotic rebellion against what is the current power structure.
Mm-hmm.
About not saying right or wrong how they're doing it, or that's a whole other topic, but that's how that comes out. So Uranus and Pluto is about... So Pluto is in the sign of Capricorn. It's going to spin there for a while. It's going to be there for a very long time. Capricorn is self-accountability. Pluto in Capricorn is about taking back our self-accountability and dealing with the power of our lives. Uranus is Aries is the warrior. So you see, the warrior and power structure are at conflicting odds.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the archetypes of this play out. So anyone that is holding you back, any relationship that is holding you down, a work environment that is making you miserable, a boss that is picking on you, a bully down the street, anybody or anything that has been picking on you or that is keeping you held back, that you've been able to... Maybe human beings are able to go through incredible amounts of suffering and torment and pain, and sometimes it's self-inflicted. But anything that, any bad situation that you've been able to put up with or deal with has most likely become more aggravating, more irritating, more noticeable. And so that's what the meaning of this anything that is holding us back or keeping us stuck is being, you're being forced to deal with it at this time. So on this, says in an outer level, we're seeing this with countries when we're seeing it, you know, these things playing out in other countries and stuff. This is a resemblance, a reflection, a mirror of what's going on inside of us. We're all being asked to overthrow old trauma that's been holding us back, old wounds that are holding us back, people that are holding us back, situations that are holding us back. Now is the optimal time, and I don't care how old you are or how long you're going to live, right now is the optimal time in your entire life to overthrow this energy. This is as good as it's going to get. This is the most energy you're going to have ever in your lifetime to overthrow these chains. Because you're not, you know, this, or I should say, one of the time you could, some people will have a, we have a Pluto square at some point in our chart. So probably, this is probably the second most powerful transit you'll ever have in your lifetime. To correct myself there. So, this is when, this is a great opportunity and a great energy to correct and fix things and get things back online with how they are, how they're supposed to be, to get aligned with our soul, to move forward on the path we're supposed to be moving forward on. So what we have going now also is there's a lot of, within this bigger framework, this is the highlight, this is the main title on the marquee, is the Uranus-Pluto square. So within that, we have other smaller things happening now too. So sometimes there has to be, because the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, kind of, they stay in a sign for a long time. They kind of rule generational things, how we transform society over a longer period, how we move forward over a longer period. Kind of, it affects groups and generations. Although there's still things in, you know, happening within these smaller periods and things on a personal level, the outer planets affect the things that happen, you know, the big picture things where generations change things over a slower period as opposed to evolution happens two different ways. The most common way evolution happens is through slow, gradual change. And then we have short periods where there's a lot of big explosive events that kind of give us a push and get us going on the path a little faster. So within this bigger concept of the Uranus-Pluto square, we have lots of little things going on. Now, at the beginning of the show, we kind of talked about instinctual energy. And we said Mars rules the first house. Mars is the ruler of Aries. Mars is kind of our animal, instinctual, base-level energy. Mars can be sexual energy. Mars can be aggression. Mars can be anger. Mars can be throwing tantrums. Mars can... Mars has a lot to do with that. Maybe we just need to go to different Mars is a lot of action and energy, and can be aggressive. And so and Mars is the ruler of Aries. Right now, there is a lot of Aries energy. For this, now the Sun has not gone into Aries yet. That doesn't happen until late on March 21st. But Venus has gone into Aries. Mars has gone into Aries. The South Node is in Aries. Uranus is in Aries. So the South Node, so even if you don't know anything about astrology, you know, just let your head run through these scenarios. So Venus is love and relationships. We have the instinctual, aggressive warrior in that sign. Mars, which is energy and aggression and sexual energy on one level, and the sign of the warrior is in the fiery warrior. Aries is a fire sign. Mm-hmm. The sign of the fiery warrior is in that sign. Uranus, the planet of change and chaos and rebellion, it's in Aries, the sign of the warrior. The South Node, the sign of old karma, past conditioning, things from previous lives, that sign of Aries, the sign of the warrior. So just just add more aggression and warrior mentality to each of those things. And that's all happening now. For February 20th through March 16th, for most of that period, Venus, Mars, Uranus, and the South Node are all very close together. They're conjunct. Their energies are working together. They're all in the sign of Aries. So that is about... there are such concentrated Aries energy, right? So it's about releasing karma, angrily if needed. It's about rebellion and overthrowing things that are holding us back, angrily if needed. It's about expressing our anger, angrily if needed.
You should see Mark's face.
Right. So there is a big, this is a big, the universe is telling us this is a big push. This is a time to have that energy boost up, to throw these things off, to throw the oppressors off, to have the energy to break out of our coffins, break out of our status quo, break out of the chains that it's the warrior energy. We all have the warrior energy now.
I always think of that song. Who sang that song?
I'm the warrior.
You remember that song?
Oh, I am the Scandal.
Scandal, yeah.
Yes, Patti Smyth. Who was a Sun sign Cancer.
You started looking like her for a second.
Right.
Just a second.
So that's the energy we're having at now. Now, we have all this Aries fire energy. Now, we also have Jupiter, which is the biggest planet, and planet of expansion, philosophy, higher learning. We have that in the sign of Leo. Saturn, which is structure, discipline, the status quo, that is in the sign of Sagittarius, which is the fire sign. And then we have Venus, Mars, Uranus, and South Node in Aries, a fire sign. So we also have we have something in each of the three fire signs. So that is called we have a fire grand trine, because when you have things in Sagittarius, and you can do this with all the elements, Sagittarius, Leo, and Aries, the three fire signs. When you have something in those three signs within, they're all roughly 120 degrees apart. If you fit with, this is how the aspects work, if they fit within 10 degrees either way of that 120 degrees, then they're all an aspect. When you have something in all three of the signs, we have, it's called a grand trine, because you have something in each of the three fire signs. are like in my birth chart. I have a water grand sign. I have planets in the 20-degree area of Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio. So I have a water grand trine in my chart. These are very powerful power. They form a pyramid. When you look at the chart, they form a pyramid. And you know the power and energy the pyramid has.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Venus, Mars, South Node, all in this big grand fire trine. Fire is exuberance. Fire is energy.
Mm-hmm.
Fire is fiery.
is it really?
So we have all this fire energy. It's forming a pyramid. We have a giant, fiery, freaking Wicker Man pyramid happening in the sky. Yes. So what a better time to use our energy to break free of these old past conditionings and this old karma. Just there is so much fire energy out there that we have. Your fire sign people, if you're born towards the middle of any of the, if you're born in the middle area of Sag, Leo, and Aries, then you should be lighting up like a Christmas tree right now. You should be bursting. So we have all this fire energy too. And this is in a trine, is a good, helpful aspect. It doesn't have the aggression of a square. So we have that energy going.
Time to awaken.
Time to awaken. So on top of that, we have planets. Planets can be either direct or retrograde. If a planet is direct, it means its energy is moving forward. It is moving forward through the zodiac wheel, and its energy is putting itself outward like it normally does. Now, sometimes planets are you've heard the phrase Mercury retrograde. So retrograde means redo, reverse, repeat.
Susie in retrograde.
Shh.
I'm getting myself in trouble. She's not here. No.
Okay. So retrograde.
Never.
When a planet is retrograde, its energy is focused inwards. Now, it's not really moving backwards in the sky, but it's now the speed of the Earth has surpassed the speed of the planet that is retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really moving backwards, but from our angle it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the speed of the Earth is now going faster than the speed of Mercury when it's retrograde, or it's going faster than the revolution speed of Jupiter when it's retrograde.
So do we age quicker?
So, no, but it's the effect of that planet is felt inward,
okay,
as opposed to outward. And it goes through a shadow period where it goes back through the degrees it was just in,
okay,
from the angle we are. And so things are not as good outwardly for the things that sign rules when it's retrograde, but those energies or gifts are kind of turned inwards. So we have a planet, when a planet goes from direct to retrograde, it makes a station. This is when the planet is at the stillest point it's going to be. And so when that energy, it's kind of like a fan, when you have an oscillating fan that moves back and forth, then that air is kind of splayed or spit out at, you know, in little increments in different directions. But if you make the fan stationary, that air, that breeze, that energy is focused, concentrated on one area. So the same thing there, that when a planet stations, its energy, that planet takes center stage on the week before and after it stations. Because the energy of that planet is more, it's not splayed, it's not watered down. That energy is focused on one spot. So like when Saturn stations at 4 degrees Sagittarius. If you have 4 degrees Sagittarius in your chart, or any business or government or sports team or athlete or government agency that has something at 4 degrees Sagittarius, that energy is going to be felt tremendously, because that planet is not, it's not, you know, it's not just walking on by waving as it goes by.
Mm-hmm.
It's stopping. That planet is stopping at 4 degrees Sagittarius. So if something, and your chart is at 4 degrees Sagittarius.
Mine is?
I said if there's in your chart, if anybody out there has, if you know your chart, if you have anything at 4 degrees Sagittarius.
Can I be at 3.5?
You're going to, right, if you're within a couple degrees either way, too,
mm-hmm.
you're really going to feel that planetary station. So, okay, so I just used that as an example. But what we do have coming up is...
Do tell.
We have Saturn making a station. Actually, it's at 5 degrees Sagittarius on March 14th. So the last day of this Uranus-Pluto square is March 16th. So that square is going to be a pretty much exact. And we have Saturn stationing at the same time that this Uranus-Pluto square is exact. And so I've talked about the Uranus-Pluto square, but also I said that Mars, Venus, Uranus, and the South Node are all very close together. So that means that not just Uranus, but Mars, Venus, and the South Node are also squaring Pluto.
Uh-huh.
And since the South Node is in Aries, that means the North Node is exactly opposite. So it's in Libra. So that means that it's squaring Pluto, too. So we have this gigantic fire grand trine. We now have six planets or luminaries
mm-hmm.
involved in a square with Pluto, the nodes, Uranus, Venus, and Mars are involved in this square. So it's enough when you have three planets involved there. We've got six. And then all that Aries energy also involved in this fire grand trine. We've got the seventh of the Uranus-Pluto squares. In evolutionary astrology, when a planet is square to the nodes, it is very, very important, and it's called a skip step. And evolutionary astrology is the only place you'll get that. So Pluto correlates with the soul and its transformation. So our souls are, this is a turning point for our souls. This is a turning point for transformation and for revolution. That we are at the high point of this year up through March 20th, and we have an eclipse. There's an eclipse at 29
oh, really?
Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac,
wow.
on March 20th. Also, we have a full moon on March 5th. On March 5th, we have the zodiac circle was 360 degrees. On March 5th, we have seven planets within 38 degrees of the zodiac. There's 360 degrees in the zodiac.
Wow.
We have seven planets jammed within the 38 degree period, that space. That's barely over one sign.
Yeah, I can see it. Okay.
So anywhere, wherever 7 degrees Pisces and 15 degrees Aries is in your chart, whatever house that covers, any planets you have in that area, you are going to change. You don't have the option of not changing.
Right, cool.
You're going to change.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
You have a tremendous amount of energy at that point. So if you want it, we got a minute left. If you have want a further breakdown on all that.
Where can they find you?
You can find me. You just find me on Facebook or meetup.com at Palos. I'm redoing all my websites, and they're all a fiasco.
And you're going to be at a Mystic Nirvana, right?
Yes. My first astrology class, it's a $10 offering. It'll be at least 2 hours. You'll get a handout, 133 South State Street, Westerville, Ohio, in the Stoner Building. And I'll have a handout for you with all this information I've been going over today. This Tuesday, I will be on Melinda Carver's show, and I will post that on my page, and then she will be my guest on the Rabbit Hole next Friday, and I'm working on lining up a awesome, super duper guest here in the near future that I want to introduce to America. Incredibly talented and spiritually gifted person. So I am working on that. And so I will post, I will be on Melinda Carver's show this Tuesday. And I think it's at 6 in the, I'm not sure what time it is.
All right.
I'll let you know what time it is. So, okay, everybody, have a good weekend. I hope to see you tomorrow night at Mystic Nirvana. And I will attempt to be at Drum Circle afterwards if you're by there. And we will, I'll be back on Tuesday with our guest Chris Keller on Lunchtime Wisdom
That's
Cafe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, have a good weekend.